Lord. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. In the house, you may be seated. Go ahead, sis.
You know, I was just sitting there thinking, I am so thankful for what we have here. Amen. You know, like Brother Moore was saying, I hadn't testified in a while, and I was like, I'm not going to go another service without giving God praise, you know? Amen. And I was thinking, Brother Moore's service. It is not painful to serve God. It is such a blessing.
Oh,
you know, He's done so much. It's not like, you know, serving Him is such a bore, it's a challenge, you know? He gives me so much more than I've ever had to give Him, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
And anytime something happens, I just rest, you know?
Good.
I'm in such a beautiful place because I have a husband who I just fall into, you know?
Amen.
He has the leadership for this home, and I have so much faith in that. Amen. The more you surrender, you know, being a wife is not hard. It's so much easier than being the husband, you know? And being a husband is easier than being a pastor, you know? Like, I got all these channels back, you know? I'm so blessed, you know? And I was just thinking about that. Thank God for that, you know? Thank God for a man who I can lean into, you know?
Amen.
Not everybody can lean into their husband. Not everybody has
a
God-led husband. So you know what? Thank God for
that.
You know, I just so blessed. And I was just sitting there thinking, I don't care what it is. If God says do it,
amen.
It's going to be way better than you think. Even when you think it's going to be hard, God has already provided. He has laid it out. And like you said, if you're in God's purpose, your purpose works too. And you get a good life for me. You know, I'm not suffering in any way, shape, or form. I'm not suffering here. I'm not suffering outside.
Amen.
You know, I'm so blessed. I don't know how I can get any more blessed. And then I come to church, and I get just a little bit more blessed, you know? And like, I was just thinking, I don't want to sit down on God ever, He's been so good to me.
Amen.
And I was just, you know, we sing these songs, and I just want to walk around the church. There's so much, it's just so full.
Yes.
And I just want to thank God.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. It's just...
Amen. You know, let me testify real quick. Oh, my goodness. That's how real this is.
It's real.
It's that real. The word just... You get stimulation by revelation.
Amen.
You know, and today, you know, this past Sunday, oh, my goodness. This past Sunday service was amazing. But, you know, I still need manna, fresh manna today. I still need to keep eating. You know, that scripture says, have you received since you believe? I have to continue to receive. Like, it's like my paycheck. I need it every Friday. I need it every single week. And I have already made plans on that money. That's how hard my faith is, right? And I have something I wanted to share because it was amazing. Brother Warren had testified, because I like to go back and listen to the messages and stuff, just, you know, see if I missed anything, you know? And something popped up because he really brought it home. Brother, you brought it home for me. He said, you got to bring it home. So the scripture, it's funny, because I went, that same testimony led me to John 14. And there's a little bit of reading here, but I just wanted to share this because I mean, like, my thought is like a couple scriptures down, but you gotta go up a little bit. I can't just say that without saying this too. And it's like I never read it before. Brother Moore. So just bear with me. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, Lord. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now you gotta bring that home. Put that right here as if you're the one talking to somebody, because that's where I was. I found myself there today dealing with these two gentlemen as I was having a meeting, and you know, the meeting wasn't even for business or nothing. I was hot dogging, you know, I was in Starbucks like I normally do, but it turned into just a 5-minute conversation, turned into a 3-hour. Just, they were just blown away by what they were hearing coming out of the mouth of God. So I'm like my brother back here, think it not strange. I already know what was going on. So verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise. See, that's the mark I'm pressing to. That's the mark of the higher calling. See, I'm not going to be satisfied till I wake in his likeness. That right there is my promise. He promised that where I go, he will be there also. That's shortly coming around the corner. And so it says here, it says in verse 4, it says, whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith, and he's just using Thomas as just, you know, an example. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What brother said here, he said, I'm the way. No one can come to the Father lest they come through me. I got to say the same thing. You can't even see the Father. You'll get nothing from the Father unless you deal with me, because I and my Father are one. Oh, my goodness. Like, I never seen this before. I read right over all this. Y'all preached, and I probably wasn't listening. So, but this is just, it popped out at me, and this just marked up my whole day today. This, I live this scripture. Oh, today, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in my life. I got to speak for myself in this thing. You got to have this for yourself.
Right.
So, it says Jesus, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. See, you can't, he's not going to marry his son to a bride with one breast. She's got to be fully mature. She's got to have, thus saith the Lord. You know how, like, those back in the day, they had those arranged marriages and stuff like that. And sometimes the father would spend time with both the bride and the groom. And that bride, he wanted to see what was really in her heart. Sometimes he'd test her. Sometimes, you know, he'd just trying to find out, probing at her, see what he's actually going to give his son to. Because he wanted to make sure he had the best of everything. And God gave us the best of everything. So he said, even Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been with you long? He was dealing with some knuckleheads. He was dealing with people that just couldn't pick up what he was saying. He had to break it down and break it down and break it down. Thank God we don't have that in here. Amen. Thank God we can just accept what God's saying for what it is and then just move on forward. And I love that. You know, but let me just skip on down here because I'll get stuck. So you know how you old heads in here, y'all like that Romans 8 and 28. This is my Romans 28 and 28. I got stuck here, so I'm way too far in right now, so I'm just going to skip a little bit down to get through my thought because we got guests. You know, I'm sorry about my manners. But this excites me, man. This is the word. I see myself right here. That's a big thing. So he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That told me right there, he ain't even coming back to do a thing. He already did his job. It is up to us.
Amen.
It's up to us to call things as they are, that call things that don't exist. You're not going to just wake up, no 2,000-year-old dead people and do it on your own thinking. No, you're going to do it because you have thus saith the Lord. You're going to do it because you're the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
And that's all I wanted to share.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Well.
Thank you, brother. I hate to follow that. but I am thankful. I agree with everything you said. I just want to agree with sister, too, because this is not hard. And I am so thankful that I don't feel like I have to come to church. I want to be here. You know, I have a desire to be here. And God fills my heart and answers my questions when I come here.
Yes.
And I'm thankful that we have the pastor and the ministers.
Amen.
So we don't have to dig in there. Just sit under the fountain and listen. And I'm not going to try to sing this whole song, but it's kind of an oldie. Like, it's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my that's all I know. To follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
That's right. Thank you. Sing it.
It's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Amen.
And that is my testimony.
Amen.
I am grounded in this word. And I don't want to go back to where I came from. So thank you, Jesus, for this mess.
You know, I'm going to jump in because our sister and I, we talked about this. We talked about singing a song together. And, you know, when we walked, Sister Elise, you know, you spoke to me. Each testimony spoke to me. I came in today thinking about love. What a true fellowship we have here. The first song talks about love. Yeah, I jumped in on you, sis. Sorry. But, you know, when you're excited about something, you're going to jump in. It's like you put a fire to my fire, and I'm going to put a fire to your fire. And I was thinking the same thing that she thought. What a oneness we have here. And I'm going to be excited about what I have. Because my pastor's taught me that. He's taught me about leadership.
Yes,
and God knows I love this message.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep leaning in. I'm going to keep pressing toward that mark. Because no matter what, I'm going to serve God. He's shown me love here. He's shown me correction. And correction is love. And, you know, knowing that you can just rest here. You know, I have walked many years. You know, when you as you age and you look at life and you say, you know, Lord, you've been good. And certainly, he's been good. I don't lean into anything, but I know when I come here, there's such a oneness. There's such a fellowship.
Yeah.
There's just such something that's talking about walking in a uniting, mm-hmm. true fellowship. And you want to come to church. It's not a have to.
Right.
It's a want to.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was thinking that. I was thinking about love. I was thinking about Corinthians. But you know what, y'all? I see other sisters and saints want to talk to, but I just thank God for what he's given me.
Amen. Give me 1 second, sis. We got Oh, go ahead, sis.
You better put a monk in. Don't cut me off. I heard that. Well, don't cut me off. I am thankful to be here. I really am. God's brought me so full power, you know, and it's hard sometimes to get to come to church, and the Satan tells me, "No, you can make, and you can't make it. You, this leg hurts, that leg hurts, you know." And already. I know better. I know I'm healed.
Yes.
And I know God. He's got the pain. He'll take it away when He
That's
wants
right.
to.
Amen.
And I am so thankful I got a church that stands with me. Anything I need, I know that I can get That's with right. them. And I'm so thankful.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Go ahead, sis. You'll be the last one.
I'm so grateful to be here. I was so full today, too. And I had just had a little testimony. I had a business call today, and the guy was just, he was so sweet. And he one few minutes into the conversation, he was like, you know, I really feel like this was divine. Like, I really should have, that I was supposed to take this call. And he said, I want you to know, he said, I don't normally take these calls. And he said, you know, but there was spring break and whatever, you know, and he said that he just had to pick up and help the people. And so anyways, I had questions, you know, about business. So we went into it, and he just kept on going and on and on and on. And he's like, I'm just not trying to toot my horn, but he said, I know this was divine. I was supposed to meet you. And he said, I'm supposed to help you. And I must have smiled or something, because he's like, no, you really don't understand. He said, you are one out of 1,000 that I take calls for.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you, God. You know, I was just sitting there thinking, I said, no, sir. I said, you lived your whole life to talk to me today. You know, you made, you know, this was all, you know, that you lived for. And now, you know, you're going to help me. I'm thankful, because Foolish Virgin, you know, they're going to help us, you know. God, you know, has them help the bride, but, you know, I was just so thrilled, and I just had to share that, because you know, it's like, it just is another reminder who we are, you know?
Yes.
And what we're meant to do, you know, like, he said, if you hadn't been in this situation, he said, you would have never met me.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that's so funny, because you don't want to go through some of these things, you know? And you know, you think, why am I going through this, and, you know, this and that, but you know that you're supposed to go through these things to meet who you're supposed to meet, you know, and just take them with you. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. That just helped me to, you know, say, hey, I'm going through this for a reason.
Yeah.
I had to meet this guy. So,
amen, sis. Amen. Thank you for the testimonies. Beautiful. I got some announcements here. So, men's fellowship this weekend, May 4th, 10 o'clock in the morning, in the back.
Saturday,
this Saturday, 10 o'clock in the back of the church. And then May 5th, same weekend, this weekend on Sunday, we're going to True Word Tabernacle in Bluffton. Church leaves at 9 o'clock a.m. And then we have Jada's school graduation on the 24th, 4 p.m. at the Victoria Theater in Dayton. Okay. And then Brother Jay and Brother Jeremiah are leaving to Elkton, Kentucky, June 8th and the 9th. And then we have the church camping trip to Indiana, July 20th. And stay tuned for more in the back. Let's sing song 35 out of the Only Believe, and then we'll get the pastor up. Oh, we'll get... Yes, we'll get Brother Kobe up. We'll just turn it over to Brother Kobe.
Get somebody up.
Yeah, we know you. 35. Love lifted me. Sister was talking about love. Seems so fitting. I was sinking deep within, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now saved. 'cause love lifted me. It was love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Oh yes, love lifted me. Soul's best song, faithful, loving service to Him belong, because love lifted me. Oh yes, love lifted me.
Completely saves. We'll lift you by His blood out of He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey.
God's love is so powerful that it can lift a whole load of burdens off you if you just let Him. Sometimes people come up and they'll want to love you, but you just won't let them sometimes, or they won't let you. But I tell you, if God ever offers His love, take it. It's worth it. It's worth it. I was walking around the house today, and I just felt just a something in my soul, and I just thought of this song. And sometimes out of character for me sometimes to sing some of these songs, but but it was in character while I was there at the house, and it just brought the presence of the Lord. I thought, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and man, I was just happy, and I started singing this. Will I sing because I'm happy? And I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. And I sing because I'm happy. Are you happy tonight? And I sing. Who's free here tonight? I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches. You know, He's got His eye on us tonight. He's got His eye on all of us. And, you know, my brother, he was in his garage today, and there's a fella here tonight. Let's see, what do we call you? Anthony. No, Andrew. Right, Andrew. And he was willing to deal with my brother, and my brother got the good end of the deal. He said, come to church with me, and let's start from the things they were talking about in their conversation. He's like, oh, I'd love to go. Then we got Tony. And he's our neighbor. He's been here a few times. And sometimes you just don't know why, but you feel something just urging you. And sometimes you feel something provoking you, you know. And sometimes that's bad, and sometimes it's good. But the Bible says to provoke one another unto good works. And a good work is coming to the house of the Lord. And but there's a sister, talk about being happy. There's a sister at our church, and for years and years, she had, I think, 3 or 4 daughters, and I think maybe she lost 2 or 3 of them. Her name's Sister Michelle Thompson. And they've just had, you know, the world would say bad luck, but, you know, all things work together for the good for us, because we know, you know, and we isn't the world. We is the bride, you know, that we know all things work together. But anyway, she's had this breathing issue, and her lungs have been really bad. She's needed a lung transplant for years and barely can come to church, but she comes. She's on oxygen, whatever she can do. She's just a little pint-sized woman, just real little. Mm-hmm. And just by the grace of God, they found a donor for her. Amen. And here, they did the transplant here about 1.5 weeks ago, I'd imagine. And they had to, I guess, get a younger person because she's so little to have littler lungs. And so they did the surgery for her, and it was a miracle that they could even do it and have the lungs. But when they had cut her open, they put the lungs in her. They were so big, the lungs, they couldn't sew her up. And so the lungs, they were going to have to trim the lungs down and do more surgery. So the bride got together and thought, well, why go through all that trouble? We can go an easier route. And so we just looked up to the great physician. No, we love the physicians that's there, you know, and God puts them in their place, but we got to put God in His. And so saints start praying, the lungs shrink on their own, and they sewed her up, and she's, from what I know, she's still on a breathing machine, but they did a trach, and she's starting to breathe. And they're getting ready to take her off of all those things. And yes, God don't bring you to it unless He's got the strength to bring you through it. You know that old song, when He reached down His hand for me? There's been times, man, I've been so down. But when He reached way down for me, I didn't even have the strength to reach up, you know. And He had even given me that strength. So, but God's been nothing but good, yes. Nothing but miracles. Yes. Cancers are dropping like that. That's healings, right. Everything is just in God's hands. Amen. We got another brother with us tonight, Brother Rogine, and he goes to church with us up there in Bluffton. And we're going to ask him to come up and open up in prayer if that he would. And we just love the Lord, and him and his wife sings, and she plays the guitar, and just a real blessing. But I've had a few times to talk to Brother Regine, and it's always been a blessing. Come on up, brother. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached down his hand for me, where were you? Well, I was lost and undone, without God or his son. When he reached down his hand,
let's just bow our heads and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to just come amongst us, walk the aisles, and touch each one of us for what we need, because we know we can. So Heavenly Father, we'd just like to offer this service to you, Lord Jesus, and pray that you would just come and have your way. We came desiring, Lord, to hear the word of God. Came desiring, Lord, to be filled with what we have need of. Father, you know each and everything. Lord, those that have needs, Father, Lord, may they just be touched in a special way. Those that need healing in their body, those that need healing in their mind, those that need healing in their soul and their spirit, Lord Jesus, we know you're more than able. We look to you, Father, for the answers, because, Lord, there is nothing, Lord, that you cannot take care of, nothing that you cannot address, nothing that you get caught by surprise. You're an all-knowing God. And we thank you, Lord, that our footsteps, Lord, are ordered by you. We appreciate, Lord, the things that you do for the bride of Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we gather together here, Lord Jesus, let it not just be an assembly of people, Lord. Let it be a coming together, Father, one spirit, one mind, Lord God, that we can just pull on the gift, Lord Jesus. Bless our minister, bless our preacher, Father, to be moved, Father, to step out of the way, Lord Jesus Christ, that you can speak through his lips, Father, that you can anoint him, Father God, with the coal off the altar, Lord Jesus Christ, that his lips would be touched, Father, and that we would leave this place, Lord, higher than we came in, more filled, Lord Jesus. Let all these things, Father, be done to glorify you, Lord Jesus, and that you would be praised and honored. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
I just think while he was praying, we're getting ready to have the preacher come up. And if there's something that's on your heart that you're in need, if there's just a question that you have, just think of that. See if the Lord don't just answer that for you tonight. You know, just invite him to come sit down next to you, because he can read your heart and your thoughts and things. And when that preacher gets up here and he starts getting anointed, that's not him anointing himself. That's coming from a way higher place. That higher place is coming down to earth right here tonight behind this podium. And anything you need, anything you desire, he'll come and take care of that for you. And if you would, it's just a little bit different tonight. I know there's some people that just stand up, hallelujah, praise God. Amen. And there's some that are a little bit quiet. But I just ask you, even the quiet ones tonight, if the preacher says something that you know came right to you, into your seat, just stand up. Amen. Just lift that hand up and say, Lord, I caught it. I caught it. I'm just letting you know. And you know what that'll do? That'll set that preacher so much more at ease, and God can come down into a lot softer vessel than he can a hard one. So, but Brother Stephen, he's just, well, he's like my brother. And my brother's hair's a little nicer, you know, but I always get that myself, you know. Mike's always says, well, I'm the brother with the hair, you know. Which side would you want to be, Velcro on with Velcro, the, you know. So anyway, but God has been good. He's give us humor. He's give us a very serious moments in our life. And tonight, it can be real serious for you. God can come down in a way. And you'll walk out of here a whole different person. You know, there's times I've been in church and I thought, oh, well, they ain't going to teach me nothing. And then God steps up here And then he can teach me everything. So, but it's a, if you will, just stand with me and listen to these words, this song, and sing it with me as the brother gets ready to come.
Well, I was near in despair. Oh, when he came to me there, and he told me that I could be free, but my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love. Oh, when he reached down his hand for me.
All sing it with me now.
I don't know how far he had to reach for you, but I know he had to reach pretty far for me. Amen. And I can testify there's no depth too low he can't reach. Amen. I'm so thankful for his grace and his mercy. Amen. Amen. Truly, it's good to be with you all again. Amen. We just love the Lord and we just appreciate what he does for us. Amen. We never want to be, you know, we don't want to be, I think Brother Rand would talk about the pig eating apples. The apple would fall from the tree, hit him in the head, eat apples, never know that it came from the tree. We want to be thankful for the tree. We thank God for the blessing. We thank God for the apple, but we don't want to forget the tree. Amen? All these, remember, every good and precious thing comes from the Father of lights from above. Not just some of them. Not just 99%. Every single good thing that happened to you came from God. Amen? I'm a little surprised, brother, who is singing. Yeah, he's just walking out the door right now. What's your name, buddy?
Isaiah.
I'm surprised you still remember what I preached last time I was here. Amen. That was a little humbling. I appreciate that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's just, you know, God throws those handfuls out sometimes for you. I feel good about that. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we wish to open to two portions of Scripture. They're both in Luke, Luke 18 and Luke 21. Amen. Again, we appreciate Brother Nate and his service to the Lord as well, and all of you all as well. Amen. God surely is good. Amen. Luke chapter 18, and then Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 18, and we'll flip over a couple pages to Luke 21. Luke chapter 18, or sorry, verse 13. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. The scripture reads, "And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." If you just flip over a couple pages to Luke 21. Luke 21, in verse 27. Luke chapter 21, and verse 27. The scripture reads, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." If you're with me, you can just bow your heads for one more prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in these last days, oh God. We're so thankful that you're still mindful of us, Even in these dark times when it seems to get so dark, it's hard to see, Lord. As the Bible says, a gross darkness that can even be felt. But Lord, you said in your word in Isaiah, Lord, you said, arise and shine, for thy light has come. Even in this darkest age, Lord God, you still send a light for your people. And we're so thankful for it, God. Now we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would anoint this service, Lord. Speak to our hearts, O God. Lord Jesus, if we need to get off the notes, then let us just get off the notes, Lord. We're here to submit unto you, Lord God, and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. So we're just lifting our hands and saying, Lord, take full control. We just want to lift in our hands as a sign of surrender. And we lift our hands as a sign of surrender to the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, take full control to speak to each heart. We're trusting it and believing it now in Jesus Christ's precious name. The bride said together, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. These are for me, right? Okay, good to hear. Just making sure I wasn't taking somebody's drink, you know. I'm going to preach a message here, just a simple message called From Looking Down to Looking Up. From Looking Down to Looking Up. As we just read these couple chapters in Luke, we found out in the first scripture reading we read that in Luke, it seemed like the man was looking down. And when he was looking down, that was the right way to be looking at that time. Amen? But then we flipped over to a couple pages, and we find out that Jesus tells us to start looking up. Amen. This actual sermon comes from a sermon one time I was preaching, and I was looking at my notes, and I noticed they were right beside each other. I said, well, isn't that interesting? In one scripture, he's told he's supposed to be looking down, and that seemed to be the correct character in the story, if you will. But then you go a couple pages later, and you find out that looking up seemed to be the which way to look. And so then I sat there and I got to thinking, well, should I be looking down or should I be looking up? Which way should I be looking? Amen. So that's what we're going to go on a little journey. I hope you want to come with me. We're going to see why we should be looking down, but then when we're going to start looking up. Amen. So I hope you kept your Bibles open there. I should have warned you. I want to read Luke chapter 18. I want to read that. That scripture reading we just referenced is a parable that Jesus gives. You say, Brother Stephen, what's your favorite parable in the Bible? It's this one right here. I'm glad you asked. So Luke chapter 18. I love this story so much. I love this parable that Jesus gives to us to teach us something. Amen? And Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, the scripture reads, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I tell you what, you guys were talking about how it ain't hard, it ain't hard. You know, the Bible ain't hard either. Oh, what does the Bible mean? What's it saying? Jesus just told us what this parable is going to tell us. Jesus just told us, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who trust in themselves that they're righteous and despise others. Okay? It's not just one or the other. When you start trusting in yourself for righteousness, what's going to happen? You're going to find out that you can't do it. Did you know the Jewish people went through 2,000 years of history from Moses until the time Nebuchadnezzar takes them out? All that time, we found out, all those 2,000 years, you found out what? You can't live it. You can't live righteous. You can't do it within yourself. You can't do it. And God sent them all through that just to prove it to you that you can't do it. Not just 10 years, 2,000 years. He took one group of people and they failed over and over and over again. So when you start trusting in yourself for righteousness, what do you have to do? You're going to find out that you can't do it. So in order to feel righteous still, you can't lift yourself up. You know, when you try to live righteous by yourself, you know what you're doing? You're like a man standing in a bucket trying to pick himself up. Can't get yourself up, can you? So in order for you to feel righteous, though, what do you got to do? You can't lift yourself up, so you got to push everybody else down. And that's what this parable is teaching us. This parable is trying to teach us that this is a parable of people who trust in themselves and despise others, okay? So we read here in verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. See, you got to bring up other people. See how it is? You got to bring up other people. I thank God I'm not like everybody else. You find out you're a lot like other people sometimes. You know, us as Christians, we still got problems, don't we? We got they got problems too. So it's not the difference of problems. The only difference is I have somebody to go to. Amen. Amen. I got a place to go to. And people wonder, why are you so happy? What do you mean, why I'm so happy? I have a place of refuge. Amen. I'm secure from all harm. Amen. Amen. We all be so thankful. Amen. But that's what this Pharisee, now what is this Pharisee doing? This is the attitude that people who trust in themselves are going to do. Okay? A Pharisee stood and prayed thus with God, I thank thee I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. See, you got to bring him up. Amen. The other guy in the church, got to bring him up. You know, I fast twice in a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. Now, you know, a lot of what he just said, we believe. You know what I mean? We believe. I don't think you should be an extortioner. I think adultery's wrong. Sure. Amen. But see, he's trusting in himself. He's thinking these things are my ticket to get out of here. That's what he's doing with them. Amen. What does Paul say? Let not your good works be evil spoken of. See, he's using these as a way to make it into heaven. Okay, why? That's the attitude of somebody who's trusting in themselves. But then we read in verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now we need to figure out what's the difference between this Pharisee and this publican. Because obviously, as we read it, the Pharisee is not really the good character in this story, is he? And yet this publican is. Okay? So what's the difference between them? It wasn't their works. It wasn't what they did or didn't do. What was the difference? Their attitude towards the word. The attitude towards the word. This Pharisee said, yep, I did this right. Yep, I did that right. Look at everything I did. I'm not even like these other sinners out here. I'm not like those people walking in Walmart. I'm not like those people in Hollywood. I'm not like them at all, Lord. You see? I'm good enough to make it now. He was trusting in himself. But then you found a man who did do those bad things, who maybe wasn't perfect and did things wrong and so forth, but never used it to justify himself. See? Attitude towards the word. Okay? Even if you're not living it, even if you can't do it, you can still stand there and say, but this is still right. I may be wrong. I am the wrong one, but this is still right. That's what this Pharisee or this publican's doing. He's admitting the word's right. He's saying, yes, Lord, I have done it. And did you know he felt bad? Hopefully you're still my friend after this, but sometimes I think we forget as Christians. Well, I would say this, as a world in general, has forgotten the use of shame. The idea of shame, okay? Because the world is so consumed with feelings nowadays. Feeling good and feeling okay Like, if I feel good, then it must be good. Oh, we're talking about love. If I feel love, then I am loving. Did you know love is not a feeling? Ooh, I'm going to put you through the blender this evening. Amen. Did you know love's not a feeling? Do you know why? Because if you stopped feeling it, then all of a sudden you're out of love. See, so love is more than just a feeling. You can have affection. You can have lust. People have thought that's what love is. Well, if I just like something, if I feel good about it, then that means I love it. No, love is deeper than just a feeling. You know what love is? It's a commitment. Love is a commitment. When you marry somebody and you say, I'm going to love you till death do us part, that is a commitment. It's not you drop in and out of feeling and then all of a sudden you're out of love now. I'm sure we got some kids, right? Amen. Right? We got some kids here, right? You mommy and daddies? You may love those kids, but sometimes those kids don't want all of a sudden, you know, sometimes you don't want to be around them or something, you know what I mean? My wife's not here right now. One time the kids marked, when they were younger, they were upstairs, and they got a little too quiet one night, so Mama went up there, found out they were drawing on the walls with crayon. Oh, yeah, she loved those kids. She loved them right on their rear end, too. Amen. But what is it? Love is not a feeling. Amen. And that's what's happened to the world, is that everybody starts basing everything on how they feel makes them right. Amen. And so when you do something wrong, here we go now, okay? You want to come with me? When you do something wrong, you ought to feel bad about it. You ought to feel bad, just like this publican did. When this publican was a sinner, he went to the house of God and felt bad for what he did. Why? Because he was wrong, but God was right. Amen. See? Shame. You know what shame means? It means a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Amen. But see, that's what happens sometimes. You think when you feel that shame, oh, I shouldn't feel that. Don't I believe in God? No, the reason why you do feel that shame is because you're believing Him. Amen. That's right. Did you know you can't even repent without first admitting God's right? Amen. Otherwise, what are you repenting of? If you're the right one, then how can you repent of yourself when you're right? You can only repent until first you find out you're wrong. You know what Brother Branham said in the Church Age book? He said in Laodicea Church Age, he said, the word for our day is I am wrong. And I've been living a little bit here, and I've been a Christian for a few years anyways, and I come to find out that's hard for people to do. It sounds good on paper. Sounds good here in this building right now, don't it? It's easy to say that as a Christian, but are you actually wrong? You know what I mean? Can you, when you feel that shame, are you ignoring it or are you accepting what you did? Just like this publican did. Just so you know, the Bible does talk about shame. Don't turn to these. Psalm 69, verse 18. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before thee. See, David knew he had some shame. He knew he did some things wrong and he felt bad about it. Don't forget that. You ought to be so thankful you can feel like that. You ought to be lifting up the roof on here that you can feel bad for something you've done. Look at all these people out here. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. I just drove by 75. There was a blue building that said abortion equals murder. And I say, amen. Abortion does equal murder. You're killing somebody. We always want to throw people in the Old Testament on the bus. There was an old god called Molech. And you know what they did? They were offered their firstborn as a sacrifice and burned their child. Say, you know what I mean? And we go, how could they do something like that? And look what we're doing in this nation. Murder. And they don't feel bad about it at all. They're wearing shirts saying, I got an abortion and I love it. How sickening is that? Glorifying in the death of somebody else. See? You ought to be so thankful that you can feel bad. The Bible says men's hearts are failing for fear. The Bible says men's hearts are turned cold. You see what I'm saying? You ought to be so thankful you have shame. See, that's why I'm trying to flip the script on shame. Because sometimes when a preacher gets up here and talks about it, you go, oh, no, I don't want to feel bad all service. You know, oh, I don't want to feel so bad. I don't want to feel terrible. And yeah, I'm trying to flip the script that if you're feeling bad, you ought to be praising God you feel bad. Because then you can seek somebody about it. We're going to talk about it a little bit. You're not supposed to stay in shame either. Let's keep reading this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Know ye not that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Verse 5. I speak to your shame. Amen. Amen. See, Paul was able to preach to people's shame. You ought to be thankful you have some shame. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication, corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So what did this publican do with his shame? He didn't hide from it. I'm preaching now, church. I hope you're with me. He didn't hide from it. He didn't try to ignore it. He didn't try to say he was okay. Amen. He didn't try to justify his actions. Well, I was born this way. I can't act any other way. Well, my mommy and daddy did it, so I guess I got to do it too. Well, you know, all the workers are smoking at work. It's hard for me not to smoke. There wasn't excuses in it. Amen. When he did something wrong, it was wrong. Amen. Back in Luke 18, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his head into heaven. Why? He had shame in him. He knew what he did was wrong and couldn't even look up into heaven. Amen. And what did he do? He beat his chest and said, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Now look at the difference between the Pharisee and the publican. It was not their actions. It was their attitude towards the word. If it was actions, the Pharisee should be okay. But look what Jesus says about the situation. In verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Amen. Who did Jesus say was justified? The guy who didn't do everything right. Wait a minute. Hold on a second, Brother Stephen. We just read that he did it. He said, Lord, forgive me a sinner. He's saying he did it. And God went around and looked at him and said, no, you didn't. That's how powerful the blood is. Can you say amen? And the blood can still do that to anybody who wants it. There's power of transformation in the blood. You're not going to be the same creature when you come to Jesus. You don't want to be the same creature either. Can you hear me? Can I get an amen? Anybody testify when you got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, it changed you. Yes. It didn't worsen you. It made you better. Amen. Yes. Amen. I've done what this world can offer. Amen. Right. I went down the roads of sin. I've done the drugs. I've done the alcohol. I've done it all. Come on, Jesus. Amen. The only thing it gives you is death. There's no satisfaction in it. You'll never win in it. It will never benefit you whatsoever. This world has nothing but death in it. It's the only thing the world can give. You hear me, church. Hear me. The only thing the world has to offer is death. It's the only thing they got. They can't even heal. Did you know we can't even heal? You know that, right? Oh, when you go to a doctor, sure, they can help, and we thank God for physicians, right? But they can't actually heal. Amen. They can't make new bone. They tried. Amen. They can put plastic ones or metal ones in you, but they can't actually make bone. And yet, for some reason, if you get a broken arm, they set it right, your body will do it. Sitting there looking for a miracle somewhere. And yet, somehow, your body made new bone that we can't even do. Sitting there going, well, I wonder if God's real or not. What are you talking about? The whole world's covered with the glory of God. Amen. That felt good. Amen. Hallelujah. Looking for proof for God. Amen. When the whole world's covered in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful that this gospel we preach ain't just doctrines. It ain't just rules. Amen. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about it. If God is real, he can talk. You know what I mean? God can talk. Did you know that? You know, Brother Brad said that a few times, right? Go ahead and go home and look it up. Amen. Type in God can talk. You sit there for a second and go, does he even have to say that? You know what I mean? Of course God can talk. And yet somehow we forget that if you would just sit there and talk to him, he will talk back to you. Amen. Amen. I'll testify, my God's never failed me. Hallelujah. I have failed God. God's never failed me. No matter what situation I've been in, no matter the boneheaded things that I've done and the sins and the mistakes I still do today, anytime I've gotten on my knees and asked God to show up, he's shown up every time. We may fail God, but God don't fail us. That's a God worth serving. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God and hallelujah. So thankful for that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Who am I? Who? I feel good. Amen. I'm so thankful. Amen. People always want to be critics and question and things like that. Don't give them any 2 cents. You got a revelation. You got it. Amen. You know what? Well, we're here. Amen. You know, like sometimes we forget that the reason why they're criticizing it is because they never met him.
Right.
And then you're going to sit there and let them tell you about the guy you met.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And they never met him, but you did. So why would you take anything when they got to say about it?
Amen.
It's like this. It's like this. I preach a message called We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. Amen. Anytime I come here, you get a 2-for-1 every time. Amen. This is sermon 2 right now. Amen. We walk by faith. Think about it. If I came up here, Brother Bram said that faith is a sense. Okay? It's not an imagination. Faith ain't an imagination. Faith ain't a random thought. It is reality.
Amen.
Brother Bram said it's just as real as any other sense you had.
Amen.
Amen. How you can all see I got my gray hair. Amen. Right? Can anybody tell you I got brown? Amen. What if I got up here this evening and I start preaching? I said, bless God. Did you know the sky is green? And you go, you look at me, Brother Stephen, you got a screw loose or something? You got all quiet a little bit on me. You know why? You know why you did? Because you're like, I ain't amening that. And I sit up here and say, what are you talking about? Sure, well, you know, the grass is green. And because the grass is green, it reflects the sky's green. Did you know the sky is green? You go, Brother Stephen, something wrong in your head. Why don't you believe me? No matter, could I ever convince you the sky is green? Why? Because you have eyes, don't you? You had sight. And you can use your eyes, look up and go, well, I don't know why it is. I can't explain all the science. I may not understand all the theories that goes into it. But I know one thing. I see it with my eyes. It's blue. Stephen, you're nothing but a false prophet. You could look at me and laugh at me, couldn't you? How can you say the sky is green? I see it with my eyes. That's how real faith is.
Amen.
That's how real faith is. When your faith reached a God that could speak back to you, don't let somebody tell you anything different. Don't let them tell you the sky is green. How can they tell you these things when you've met him yourself?
Amen.
Be careful. Satan's going to bring those mirrors. Brother Ram talked about this. The greatest stuff that ever happened was mirrors directing light and so forth. You know, smoking mirrors. It was the greatest criminal thing, right? Tricking people, having them look at a glare of another age. You don't got to look back. We got enough light right now.
Amen.
There's plenty of light in Goshen. We haven't ran out yet.
Amen.
We're still preaching the same message. And I think it's so amazing to me, right? Brother Brian said a revival would last for 3 years and then it would fall off, right? Amen. But for some reason, this message is just as real today as it's ever been. Isn't it amazing that I can read quotes from a guy 60 years ago and somehow you can feel the anointing of God come? And you're going, how can these words so old still affect us? What is it? It's because God ordained it. God spoke it. And it's still his word. Amen. Don't ever be ashamed of the message of the hour. You hearing me? As if we're the weird ones believing God sent a prophet. As if we're the weird ones. What are you talking about? The whole Bible's written by them.
Amen.
You know what I mean? What are you talking about? The whole Bible's written of them. Prophets have always shown up as if it's weird we believe God sent a prophet. No, they're the weird ones. Oh, I love flipping the script. Can you say amen? I love flipping the script as if we're the oddballs. No, we believe the word. Amen. We believe what it said. I don't need special quotes or special theories to prove God sent a prophet. It was right here the whole time.
Yes.
In Malachi 4, Luke 17, Revelation 10. God already wrote about it before he showed up. And then when he showed up, he did exactly what he was called to do.
Amen.
Even to his personality. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Elijah, as far as those five dispensations of his spirit, it's amazing the detail we know about him. We know he's bald. Sorry, Eric, but... The brother with the hair. I'm going to remember that one. Anyways, we know that that spirit, those Elijahs, was bald for some reason. Think about it. What an insignificant thing to let us know. You remember something real quick while we're here, okay? You remember something, okay? You don't read the Bible like a newspaper. You hear me? Now, you don't read the Message like the Bible either. Okay? You remember that real quick. You know, Brother Bram said one time the best cooks are in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, sorry, moms. Guess you're out of luck. You can only be number two. Of course you have good cooks in here. You know what I mean? So obviously you don't read the Message like you read the Bible. But the Bible's different. Every single jot and tittle is important in there. Every single one. So when the Bible brings up about Elisha, it's Elisha at the time. When Elijah passes on spirit and calls, and those children come up and said, "Thou bald head, thou bald head." There's a reason why the Bible's writing it in here. And could you ever think it's because when God's going to send that Elijah spirit to our day, all of a sudden we're going to find out, huh, he's a bald man. Even complaining about it, try to wear a toupee. He said he couldn't stand toupees. Why? He hated those palm trees in Florida, he said, because they're fake. He said, so he didn't want to be fake either. He just couldn't stand it. He said, I guess I'm going to have to get a cold. The reason why he was going to do it is because the air would blow in his head and get him cold or whatnot, get him sick. So that's what he thought he was going to do. He said, I can't stand it. Can't do it. I guess I'm getting sick. Moody. Moody man. You know what I mean? One day he's looking at a whole church, thousands of people, saying, if anybody can tell me something's wrong in that Chicago ministry meeting, anybody can tell me where I'm wrong in my mind, stand up here and show it to me. Not one of them showed up. Yeah, he's driving down the road one day. Say, God, nobody loves me. Standing in the gap. And God's got to have mountains made up for him to encourage him back in. Moody. Amen. One time Elijah, or John the Baptist, said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. A couple days later, sends his disciples and say, are you the guy? What do you mean, is he the guy? You said he was the guy. You were the one who said he was going to be the guy. Now you're trying to figure out who's the guy. Moody. Isn't that something? See, isn't it amazing we have these stories about this spirit? And yet we find out, this Brother Branham gentleman that comes out, we find out he's even a wilderness man.
Amen.
Did you know the first Elijah, we don't even know where he comes from technically. Why? It says in 1 Kings 17, he came out of the woods. He came out of the woods. And when Brother Branham was commissioned, he came out of the woods. You see why? You see what I'm saying? And yet we got to sit here and be the weird ones that we believe God sent a prophet. And yet we got all these things, even down to his personality. What the kind of guy he was going to be. Find out he was that kind of a guy. Amen. Don't ever be ashamed of the message of the hour. Don't be ashamed to share it. Amen. Is it the truth or not? Amen. How can you condemn somebody who doesn't know the message when you didn't tell them? Ooh, preacher Brother Stephen. Ooh, that felt good. Ooh, that felt good in here, didn't it? Amen. How can you get somebody in trouble for not knowing the message? Well, bless God, they should know their Bible more. I don't know. Why didn't you tell them? Can I give you a testimony about that? I hope you don't mind. I witnessed to a guy one time, Steve Delaney. It's kind of a long story. This is kind of separate from it, but he ended up, him and his family, ended up coming to church, and he's now a deacon of my brother Andrew's church up in Defiance and so forth. So him and his three daughters and his son all came into the message and so forth like that and got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's absolutely wonderful. Amen. About 5-6 years ago, I had a couple brothers from our church, Taz and Chuck. They ended up going up to a restaurant in Archbold, Ohio. And there's a restaurant, there's a Sauter Village, and the restaurant's called The Barn. And it's just like a little buffet place and whatnot. And so they were sitting there eating one time, and they had a waitress, them and their wives, and they're eating and so forth. And the waitress came up in the middle of their meal and said, I need to ask you a question. And they said, sure. They said, do you know Brother Stephen Caruso and Brother Steve Delaney? And they're like, actually, we do. They're our precious brothers. And she said, I kind of knew you guys came off the same spirit as they did. Ooh, glory to God. That felt good. That made me feel good right there. I don't like to toot my own horn here a little bit, but that did feel good. I'm not going to lie. Okay? And she said, well, the reason why is because I used to work with them back in Sauders. And I do remember later on it was a girl named Christina who I used to work with and so forth. And, all right, remember, I was a young Christian at the time. So you give me a little grace here, okay? But she said that she remembers me telling her that the only reason why God put me at Sauders is to tell her to stop wearing pants. Now, listen, I would be the first to admit that might not be the best way to present it, okay? I got it, okay? So I get it, okay? That may not be the best way to help somebody learn about those things. But, hey, I believe I did it. Don't worry, okay? Pretty sure I would have done something like that when I was 1.5 old. I was a house on fire on a windy day. You know, Brother Branham said one time, all the days when you were first saved, sometimes I look back, I was talking to Rojana on the way here, I look back at that guy and say, I kind of miss him. Because did you know that woman, though that does sound rough, and I'm not disagreeing with you, the way I said it, she never forgot it. She remembered it a decade later. Isn't that something? And yet we would go and say, isn't that kind of mean, kind of rough? And yet it still was a thought in her mind. Don't ever be scared of presenting the gospel as if you can mess it up. Ooh, that was good. Ooh, glory to God. As if you can mess it up. This is God's program. It ain't your program. How can you mess something up you didn't start? What are you going to scare them to anyways? Hell number two? You know what I mean? They're already in the bad situation. Yeah, that's really good. It can't get any worse, can it? If they ain't got Jesus, they ain't going to make it. Can you say amen? Amen? Listen, that ain't just some old-time religion. That's still today. If you ain't got Jesus, you're not going to make it. Amen. Even Brother Branham, when he's preaching the token, said, I got family members in here. And if they ain't got the token, the Holy Ghost, they're not going to make it. Amen. 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 If you ain't got Jesus, you're not going to make it. You might as well give up and give yourself to Jesus then. Glory to God who loves the Lord. Amen. Oh, I forgot what time I started. Praise the Lord. Let me read this, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. I am going to try to get back on track. Don't know if that's going to work. Because remember, what we're talking about is this shame. It's okay to feel bad about things you do wrong. Okay? And like we said, you ought to be thankful you feel like. Okay, but watch what, remember though, I'm going to let you know, you're not supposed to stay there though. Okay, and that's where I think people mix it up sometimes. They think that when a preacher's talking about shame, oh, you're just trying to make me feel bad. No, I'm trying to make you feel like what Paul says here. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 9, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry. See, I'm not here just to make you feel sorry about what you do. I'm not here just to make you feel bad, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Ah, there's the key. That's what we want to happen. Amen. Not that you just feel bad all the time, but you feel bad. You feel so bad that you need an answer. You need something. You got to say, Lord, I'm wrong. I got to repent of what I've done. Amen. That you sorrowed to repentance. Okay. For you were made sorry after a godly manner. Uh-oh. Did you know it can be godly for you to feel bad? Amen. Oh, you all thought I was making it up, didn't you? Well, I don't know if you did or not, but now you know I didn't. Feeling bad can be godly. You were made sorry after a godly manner. Isn't that something? That you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. not to be repented of. Hallelujah. We're not ashamed of who saved us. We may be ashamed of what we've done. We may have shame of things we still do now, but I am not ashamed of the salvation that came into my life, that set me free from all the burden of sin. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that saved my soul. I'm not perfect. Amen. I got problems. I still got problems to this day. I get headaches. I get sick. I got issues. I got kids I get nervous about. Amen. I'm nervous about things in the world and my kids going into it and things like that. Right? We're still human, but we have salvation on our side. You're not alone. Don't ever act like you're not alone. And sometimes when you feel like you're alone, even when the Spirit can't, don't worry, there's some God with flesh here this evening. You remember that we're here for each other. The Bible says that we'll bear one another's burdens. It also says you'll bear your own burden. See, both can happen, see? It's not either or. People like to take that scripture and go either or. No, both can work. Both are fine. Sometimes you're going to be on your own like Jonah was in a whale's belly. Amen? But guess what? You're not in a whale's belly right now, are you? So you got some help here. Amen. Don't ever be scared to get help. Ooh, well, this is going to be really free. I've never thought of it like this. Don't ever be ashamed to get help. Ooh, what is going on? Don't ever be ashamed to get help. Amen. Do you remember one time that one woman went up to the Lord? Said, Lord, heal my daughter. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Kept crying, help me. Amen. She admitted she couldn't do it herself. She had to open herself up. And she did, didn't she? Why? Because Jesus looked at her and said, it's not meat to give the children's bread to dogs. She opened herself up seeking help, and the word called her a dog. Boy, I don't know what some of you ladies would have done with that, but that's hard preaching. That is hard preaching. That's rough. Amen. I'm not going to give this to a dog like you. What? She was seeking help. You open yourself up. Amen. But what did she say? It was her attitude towards the word. What'd she say? Truth, Lord. No matter what the word said about me. Yes, I am the wrong one. Yes, I should be a dog. Truth, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I'll even eat the crumbs from the master's table. Do you know what Jesus said about that woman? She said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. You want great faith? Can you sit there and be called a dog this evening? What if Brother Nate gets up here and preaches Sunday and throws you all into the ringer? That preaches down on sin. Can you be called a dog and say, truth, Lord? Ooh, that was so good, wasn't it? I tell you what, you ought to praise God that you can still feel like that. That a preacher can get up here and speak the word of God to you. And you can respond to the word and say, truth, Lord. Yet I won't be ashamed of the salvation that saves me from it. Can you lift your hands and say, help me? Help me, Lord. I'm going to open myself up to you, Lord. Here's all my issues. Here's all my problems. Here's all my insecurities. Here's all my fears, Lord God. I open them all up to you, and I just have to cry, Lord, help me. Even if I'm a dog, even if I have to fail you 100 more times, I'm still going to be right here. Say, truth, Lord. I still need you, and I'm not ashamed of the salvation. Oh, my. Glory to God. That woman was not ashamed of the salvation in front of her. Whew. Couldn't run that woman off, could you? Not even Jesus could do it. Oh, I tell you what, the devil's going to get a headache with some of you. The devil keeps trying to put problems on you in situations, and somehow you're still here. Amen. Trying to run you off. Trying to get you to stop believing. Trying to get you to think you can't make it. Like the rapture's not for you. Can I say something real quick? How can the rapture not be for you?
Amen.
Think about it like this for a second. In the Bible, it talks about Jesus said the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath day. Okay? And what's that point going to make? It's not like God in the beginning of the universe was looking at the Sabbath day. You go, oh, look how great the Sabbath day is. You know what? I need some people to be worshiping on the Sabbath day. And he made you for the Sabbath. That's not what happened. No, he made you. He loved you. He wanted you taken care of. And because he saw you, what did he have to do? He made a Sabbath day, a day of rest for you. And now you can rest freely in his spirit. Amen. Look at the rapture. Do you think the rapture was just floating in the air and God needed some people for the rapture? No, God knew you were here. God knew that you were here and you needed a way of escape out of this place. You needed something. And so what did he do? He made a rapture for you to get you out of here. And what did Brother Bram say in the rapture? The rapture is only for the bride. Only for the bride. You know what the mystery of the rapture was? Not that there was going to be a rapture, but who was in the rapture. And we found out who was it. It was the bride of Jesus Christ, foreknown, elected of God. And you sit there and you go, well, is that me? Is that me? I don't know. Do you believe it? What does your faith tell you? Amen. What does faith look? Faith says, I know it was written for me. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Who's the we? Who's the we? When Paul, did Paul have a mouse in his pocket when he wrote that? Yeah, when he wrote it, he didn't say I. He said, we shall all be changed. So when you read that and it said we, you went, my faith tells me that's me there. And so then tell me, how can you miss it now? Oh, I tell you what, I love giving that devil a black eye. Bam! Take that, Satan. Whew, you're gonna preach me into a heart attack, amen? Glory to God and hallelujah. Aren't you? See, here's the thing. All that starts, think about it, everything we just talked about just now for the last 15 minutes. All the blessings of God all started because you felt bad about what you did. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You felt bad that you were wrong. And because you saw it in repentance, what happened? God took care of the rest. You remember that. The blood of Jesus Christ takes care of you. Let me read you one of my favorite quotes of the first seal. Remember, yes, you do feel bad, but you're not supposed to stay there. You hear me? That's where you start getting wrong because you need to start believing what the blood did to you. I love this quote in the first seal. This quote you should hang up on your refrigerator when you get home. Brother Bram said in the first seal, how can a man say that the bride of Jesus Christ goes into tribulation? He says, I can't understand it. She is took away from the tribulation. The church has to be judged. They have judged themselves and they have accepted the blood. How can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? How can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? You say there's no such a person. Honestly, I might have said that too one day or another. How can a man be perfectly and totally sinless? He says every born-again believer. How many of them? Every. What are they like? They're born again. How many of them? How many of them born again? Every born-again believer, true believer, is perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. And what does he say here? He says he is not trusting in his works. In the blood of Jesus, that's where his confession is. You see? So when you look at yourself and you go, yes, Lord, you're beating your chest. You say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. I am wrong. But I'm not trusting in myself to get me out of this. I need you to get me out of here. And when that confession drops in the blood, what happens to the sin? It's all of a sudden annihilated and destroyed. Can't even find it anymore. Can't even find it anymore. Brother Evan said you can't even find the smell of it anymore. Glory to God. So you see, how does that start though? Say, you got to feel bad about what you did. But you're not supposed to stay there. You take that sin and you, listen, can I say it like this too? Don't take your sin and try to figure it out yourself. Oh, I've met people like that. They like to, well, if I just did this, I'll live better now. Well, if I change this part of my life, old gentleman, what happens? You might overcome a couple times, and what's going to happen? You'll circle right back around and do it again anyways. Have you begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know what's so amazing? You almost read that, and you go, duh. You know what I mean? You go like, how could I ever think I could do it when I couldn't do it to begin with anyways? When I didn't do it on the day one I got saved, what makes me think I'll do it day 999?
Amen. Oh, yes, Lord.
See, it's still true about us. Amen. Amen. When you drop that confession, you say, how many times? There's got to be a limit, right? You know, somebody asked about a limit one time. Well, we're here. I don't know if we're going to get to the end of the sermon or not, but we're here. Amen. Somebody asked a limit one time. Peter one time said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? And what did he say? Till seven times. Do you know what's so amazing about that? Till seven times. It's actually, this wasn't just a Hebrew tradition. This was actually a tradition to a lot of those, especially when you go east of Jerusalem and so forth into the Asian countries. Usually it was three. You would offer a gift and you would refuse it once, refuse it twice, and then accept it. So you see, a lot of those traditions was usually three times. And it was in the Hebrews customs too, that how many times you should forgive somebody? Three times. So see, that was custom. So then when Peter said seven times, whoo, buddy, he sounded like a Christian. Whoo, buddy, he sounded like he was being very merciful. And to the world, he did look like it. But it still wasn't enough for God. Isn't that something? Even being three times six, even being over double merciful than tradition still wasn't enough for God. Oh, the mercy of God from everlasting to everlasting. And what did he say? Not till seven times, but 70 times seven times. And he even tells the story about the one man who owed the guy $1 million or whatever, and I'm paraphrasing. That he owed the king $1 million and said, I can't pay it, forgive me. And the guy said, sure, I'll forgive it. Then he found one of his guys, and he owed him $5 and threw him in jail for it. And then the king came and said, if I forgave you so much, why can't you forgive them? You remember that. How do you know you have forgiveness? You hear me, church? How do you know you have forgiveness? How do you know? How do you know you're forgiven of God is when you can extend it to somebody else? If you can't extend forgiveness to somebody else, then you know you're not.
Amen.
Do you know that's why, Lord have mercy. Did you know that's why Brother Bram said bitterness can drive the Holy Ghost away from you worse than anything else he knew? Why? Because bitterness is a spirit of unforgiveness. When you are holding on to your bitterness, amen, you're not forgiving. And then, therefore, God cannot forgive you. Amen. Oh, I say you throw that bitterness out the door this evening. Can I say this? It's not worth you being right. Oh, preach it, Brother Stephen. Oh, preach it, brother. I guess I got to amen myself a little bit. Yeah. You may be the right one. It still ain't worth it. Listen, when you stick your heart out, somebody's going to trample it. Don't worry. You got a refuge with Jesus Christ. He's going to take care of you. Don't worry. God's on your side. You stick your heart out there. You help people. Amen. Let that bitterness die. Amen. You say, Brother Steve, I don't feel any bitterness. I'm glad you hear that. Well, then tomorrow, make sure you're not feeling it then either. Maybe that coworker. We just had a brother, Taz. He told me he had a coworker for the last 15 years. Hated Christianity. Always made fun of him for it. These last 3 or 4 weeks, he's been talking to him. All of a sudden, the guy's interested about God. Knew to talk to Taz. Started talking to Taz. All of a sudden, one Thursday night, I walk up. And there was a man sitting with him. He looked at me and said, "That's the guy." Didn't like God. Always made fun of him. And yet Taz never got bitterness about it towards him. The first step to witnessing, you hear me? I want you to hear this from me, okay? This is a little witnessing 101, okay? The first step in presenting the gospel is to be a friend. Remember what Jesus, he was the friend of sinners, wasn't he? He sat down with the publicans and the Pharisees and the sinners, didn't he? Matter of fact, he got accused and got called out for it. He said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but I called him to call sinners to repentance." The first step into presenting the gospel is being a friend. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says, "Do not use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but use your liberty to serve others." You have liberty in Jesus Christ. That's why it's okay sometimes to talk about a football game with somebody. "Oh, bless God, you wasting your time with football?" I mean, so if you're just being a friend, then use your liberty to serve somebody. You see what I'm saying? Don't get all messed up and, "Oh, I'm you." Yeah,
come on, preach.
Amen. We love people. Yes. We hate spirits, but we love people. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. You hearing me, church? Now, I feel like you're really good about this here. I can feel that spirit with you, so I'm not even necessarily preaching on you. But what I feel like is it's almost like a reminder to get us sinking deeper, just a little deeper in your heart. You remember this. Nobody's done anything that bad to not make it to heaven. Amen. The only thing that stops people from going to heaven is then when they reject the way to get to heaven. Amen. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Well, if you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost says, that's like condemned. That's like saying, "Well, you have to get on this train to make it." And then they don't get on a train. Well, of course they're not going to make it then. Of course, no matter what they do, they can't make it because they're not on the train. But when the train says, "If you want to get on, get on," there's nobody bad enough that can't get on the train. Who are you? Maybe I should have took some notes tonight. Amen. I said some pretty good stuff tonight. Amen. Let me conclude with this. I'm not going to keep you all night, but let me conclude with this. If you don't mind, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. Let me conclude with this. Don't worry, I got about 10 more scriptures, but I hope you understand what we're talking about is where we're looking down, but now we're going to start looking up. Okay? And why we're going to start looking up is because our redemption is drawing nigh. We were looking down because we had sin and we felt bad for our wrongdoings. But now that the blood of Jesus Christ has came, cleansed us from all sin. All sin justified us from all of it. We don't have to keep looking down no more. When the publican was looking down, he beat his chest, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner." Then God came around, and what did he do? He justified him. Yes. What does justification mean? You never did it to begin with. So now, since he doesn't have the sin anymore, he doesn't have to keep looking down. And now what can he start doing? Start looking up. What did the Bible say? When you start seeing these things approaching, he didn't tell you to keep staring at it, did he? When you hear something on Fox News, he didn't tell you to keep staring at it. Listen, I watch Fox News too, okay? I'm not going to lie to you, okay? I keep up on news, sure. But don't let it affect your attitude. Amen. How do you know when it starts affecting you? When you start looking at it too much and you start feeling yourself get that nervous spirit. Oh, what's going to happen in Gaza? Or you hear about all the campus stuff going on? Yeah? Oh, well, this is going to be a really hurt one, especially in this county. Okay? Trump ain't going to fix everything. You hear me? Somebody said, "Really?" I knew that was going to get somebody. I knew that was going to get somebody. What are you talking about, Brother Stephen? And listen, I'm not saying he's going to be bad or nothing, but don't you dare think for a second Trump's going to fix everything. This nation is condemned. It's not going to be condemned or there's a way out. They already passed their chance to get out. And if God don't judge this nation, he has to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. So when you see these things happening around you, don't look at them as the solution. What are you supposed to do?
Look up.
Oh, there's my solution. Glory. Yes, there's some bad stuff going on today. But now here's my solution. There's my answer. Don't look for your comfort in these things of the world. Don't look at it as if it's going to be able to settle your problems. The Bible told you where your comfort comes from. And I'm going to show you where 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. You see, you were sorrowing before, weren't you? After a godly sorrow when you were looking down. But now that you're looking up, what are you supposed to do? Stop sorrowing. God took care of it all. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So what's the difference with you? You have hope. The world don't have hope. So why keep staring at it when they ain't got the hope? You're supposed to look up for your hope. Amen. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, who believes that? I do. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, I guess you believe in a resurrection now too. Amen. I know you do. You know why? Because you believe Jesus died and rose again. It's so simple, ain't it? I love you people so much. Too simple, he said. You hear him? Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from Fox News. Well, I know you don't watch CNN here, so. Now I'm getting a little too goofy, Brother Eric, aren't I? No, he's going to descend from heaven, isn't he? That's where you're looking for him to come. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, yes, you were looking down for a season, but get your sin under the blood and start looking up for your salvation. Start looking up for your redemption. Quit looking at everything else. And look unto him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Glory to meet the Lord in the air. See, we're not even staying here. Amen. Why do we keep staring at a place we're not going to be here? Amen. We're coming back, sure, but it's going to be renovated. Amen. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. See, your comfort's not going to come out of there. Can I give you a little suggestion? Talk about that rapture some more. Bring it up. Somebody come up and say, brother, I'm getting a little nervous about what's going to happen in politics. You know, I'm getting a little nervous. And listen, I'm not going to blame you for a second. I'm nervous about Biden stuff too. Sure, I don't blame people for that. You know what I mean? But when so that spirit's going to come on you. But you can sit there and go, but you know what? Glory to God. Whether it's Biden or Trump, I know Jesus is coming back for me. And you can say like John in the book of Revelation, even so, come Lord Jesus, come. Oh, I can't pay all my bills. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come. Oh, I feel sick today. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come. You love the Lord? Can we bow our heads for a prayer? Most gracious, kind, heavenly Father, Lord, we just feel that spirit and just how great it is to be in your presence, Lord God. And we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy. We're so thankful, Lord, that you provided us a way of escape from this evil and corrupt world. This most dangerous world that does nothing but, as the Bible says, Satan goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. All this world gives is death, but Lord, you give us life. And even the Bible says life abundantly. More life than we could ever even imagine or ask for. You just pour it out upon us, Lord God. And we're so thankful, Lord. So thankful for your spirit, Lord, as we're just feeling it right now, just brooding over us, as we're seeking your face, and we're not looking down no more, Lord. We put our sins under the blood. Our confession is not in us. We don't trust in ourselves. We're trusting in your work and the finished work of Calvary. And that's where my confession is this morning, evening, Lord, in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we can start looking up. Glory. Looking up for our redemption. We're not living for this world, Lord. We're not living for this place, Lord. As your Holy Spirit comes and broods over us, we can just feel that assurance of the promise. That, Lord, we're not always going to be here, Lord, but there will come a day that this mortality shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the scripture that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We feel the earnest of that victory this evening, Lord. And we're so thankful for it, God. Just love you, Lord. I pray if somebody's done anything wrong, they get it under the blood right now, Lord. They don't wait another second. If they got to hit an altar to get it, so be it. They got to run up and down the aisle, so be it. They got to go into the bathroom and cry a little bit, so be it. Lord, let them not leave this room. Oh, I implore them by the Holy Ghost. Don't leave this room until your sins are under the blood. You have no chance outside of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, once they start trusting in you, Lord, then they'll be set free. For whom the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. We love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen. Musicians, come up. I kind of want to... Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. God truly is good to us. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I was nervous for this evening. I preached this sermon 3 or 4 times already. You know, I just started going back to work. And, you know, so I felt like I didn't have enough time to pray or read my Bible or, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt lacking within myself. Driving up here felt like I was a little empty. You know, feeling like, you know, like, man, Lord, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Because I don't want to be a waste. I don't want to come here and waste people's time. Amen. I don't want to just have a good service for me. You know what I mean? I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing. And I was feeling lacking within myself. But I thought back there for a second. Why am I spending so much time trusting in myself? Why was I spending so much time looking at me? As if my efforts were going to make it any better than God already planned. Amen. And I'm going to say that for you as well. When you start beating yourself up for the things you've done, when Satan brings that memory back, he does it to me too. I get it. Brings up what you used to do and things like that and try to condemn you for something. You know, well, my goodness, you weren't trusted. Why you spend so much trusting in yourself? Amen. I don't think it's worth another second of our time. Can you say amen? You know what I say we do this evening? I say we just lay ourselves at the altar. Lay ourselves at the altar and say, Lord, I'm done with me. Glory God. That's what I'm going to say. Lord, I'm done with me. I'm here to surrender myself unto you, Lord. You say, Brother Stephen, I still smoke. So what? Surrender to him anyways. Amen. He'll take you into cigarettes. He'll take you in any condition you are. Quit trying to find a good spot to meet God. The Bible says God is not very far from any one of you. I want to be closer to God. Can you say amen? Why don't we sing that song, Just a Closer Walk With? How's that sound? And I am not a singer, so you're going to have to help Brother Stephen here. But I feel like worshiping the Lord a little bit. Can you say amen? I'm going to give God a little bit of my time. We got work tomorrow. Anybody tired? I am. We got work tomorrow? Yeah? Probably going to be tired there too. We're always tired. You know what I mean? So why we use that excuse? You go home, you're so tired anyways. So we might as well give God some worship. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. I am weak, but thou art strong. Is that the psalm? Eric, sing for me. See? I told you I can't sing.
Oh, I am weak, but thou art strong.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, isn't he just so wonderful when we're in his presence? Yeah, the world may say it's simple. Look, you just had a guy standing up there just sweating, spitting all over the place. How can God be in that? But yet the Bible says by the foolishness of preaching, God will save them that believe. Why does he do it like this? Because he's going to prove the foolishness of God is stronger than men. Don't ever deny this effect of the word of God being preached. Don't you feel it? He still shows up. He still comes. You can still feel his presence. And you go, thank you, Lord, for meeting me. Thank you, Lord, in my condition, you still met me. And his presence is so sweet. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love the Lord? Brother Eric, you've got a song on your heart. I'll pass it on to you, buddy. Love you all. God bless you. Appreciate you all. Amen. Thank you so much.
I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oh, if I live a whole shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Do you believe it now? Let's sing it to him.
I know the Lord will make a
this now.
I know the Lord has laid his hand on me. I know.
Tonight, that preaching just came down, and it's like the Lord just come down and laid his hand on you. You know, there's a lot of things I don't understand at times, and you know, I start seeing the world coming out in the world. Imagine that, you know. And here comes all these people out, and here even we have our preachers preach to us, but Satan has his preachers preaching to the world and trying to get to us. And all at once you hear the world out there singing songs like, I was born this way. I was born this way. Well, we were all born that way in sin. We all were. That's why we have to be born again, you know? And then I'm like, sometimes just as a godly man, I get disgusted with things. Like the brother said, sometimes we're human. We get angry. We feel different ways. And I'm like, Lord, look at all this homosexuality. I mean, you can't even hardly walk down the road without seeing that. And there's times me and my brother, we go out to dinner, or we'll have one of my grandchildren with us sitting out at the, we sitting out at the green one time. And these people come up and said, oh, we don't judge. You know, and me and my brother's like, judge what? We didn't adopt this kid together. We're actually brothers, you know? But you know, the world has a way, and the news has a way of putting your mind on that continuously. And then we're being falsely judged, but one day they will be judged. And I was sitting here thinking of these prophets. Name me one of these prophets that's still living here on this earth. The prophets are gone. God has went from the prophets to the prophecy. That's where we're at. We're living in the prophecy. And here, when they used to be in the closet, you know, think about this. Now they're coming out of the closet, and I'm like, God, why do I have to look at all this? Well, he's telling us, I'm showing you the prophecy. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Why? It's not asked why. We ask, why not don't we see a Sodom-like condition? That's how we know we're about to be raptured out of here. That's the timepiece. It's saying, hey, look, you're going to see sin and multiplying. And there's going to be so much sin that it's just going to, we're just going to walk so far away from it. We're just going to have to rapture out of here, you know. But, you know, a lot of times I say, Lord, just put the right preacher on my mind. You know, I want to just help the church. And I want a preacher to come out and just say something that'll really help this church. And I walk out with more. I think I walk out with more than you guys a lot of times. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so good. And there, I got to be honest, there are times I'm sitting there and I'm ducking, like, oh my gosh, that's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. I hope everybody's taking this right. But it's really hitting me. It's hitting me. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, Lord, I'm the target. You know, I'm the target. But I don't mind being the target. Lord, hit me. Hit me all you can. Beat all the dross out of me. Beat all the sin out of me. How do you become like fine gold? You got to be tried in the fire. You got to be beat, you know? So I'm thankful for these meetings. I'm very thankful. I know a lot of you come up. One time I was back here eating a dinner with you guys, and I don't know if it was Jay or if it was Jeremiah, but they come up to me. It might have been Jeremiah. He looks like he's guilty already. It's probably Jeremiah. But he came up to me. I was sitting there trying to eat my chicken, and he goes, maybe it's turkey. I think it's Thanksgiving or something. Anyway, he goes, you're really slipping, Brother Covey. I said, what do you mean slipping? He goes, you ain't brought a preacher here in a couple months, you know? And we really appreciate it, you know? And I appreciate doing it. I get the fellowship. I cook dinners and have people over. And then one of the preachers that was here, him and his wife, stayed the weekend with me and said, come time for him to leave, you know. They stayed a couple nights with me. And the brother come up, and he goes, Brother Covey, can we just stay another day or two? I said, you come on and stay. I said, say all you want. But I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy this. I really do. And I pray that you were blessed. I tell you, this Sunday we're looking forward to you guys coming. I was talking to some of the deacons. They're like, okay, how many seats do we put out? Because, you know, it's probably going to be packed. That's all right, you know. He said, we'll just put more seats out and more seats out. Then we'll start building the church bigger, you know, and things. But Brother Lawson, he said, he's loving you guys going to be coming. No, I believe he's going to be preaching Sunday, but you're getting him coming back from a big camp meeting. So he's going to be on fire. He's going to be on fire. So, but think of some things that you need in your life and maybe write them down or just keep them in your heart and see if God doesn't speak through that preacher there on Sunday morning. I mean, me and my brother, it's just an everyday common thing to us now. He just said what we was talking about. Man, remember we were talking about that. But he just knows the very thoughts. He knows our conversations. And, you know, remember our thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words, so we got to watch our thoughts, you know, too. And that was really hitting me tonight of being judgmental, you know, because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I say it to people, I don't mean to sound this strong, right? But when the Lord puts it on your heart, you got to say it. You know, just my dad loves me, but I can tell you he's burnt my hide a whole lot more than he's hugged my neck, you know. But it's got me to where I'm at. But I'm so thankful. Let's sing this one little old song before we go, and brother, you can come up. It's called We'll Walk in the Darkness. No. It's called We'll Walk in the Light, the beautiful light. Yes, we got to see. We got to walk in the light. Yes.
We'll walk in.
No, is that high? That is a little high. Let's bring her down. Yeah. Maybe I'll just start it.
We'll walk in the light, such a beauty.
Enjoyed it, Brother Steve. There you are back there. Enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Good to come back anytime. Anytime. The one thing, you know, Fairborn has that I got to be proud of is that we love the Word. And you can't make it too hot. You can't make it too straight. And if we get spanked, we're in the house of correction, so what do you expect? I mean, that's what we do. If we're wrong, somebody corrects you, and then you take a step forward.
Yes, Lord.
That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Yes.
So we love the Word. Now, just a reminder, we are leaving here Sunday morning. Well, we got the fellowship Saturday for the brothers in the back. And then Sunday morning, we are leaving at 9 a.m. I didn't want to say it because I'll get the wrong time and mess everybody up. Okay, Sunday school starts at 10:40 for kids. How young? Oh, so us 64-year-olds are out. No, we'll come. Now, we're coming. I always tell them when we go places, I always tell them don't bunch up and sit together. Now, you were saying you wanted to put us in the area. Sit where you want, blend in, and enjoy the service. Yeah, they're going to put the seats out, but get in there. And yeah, we should. We are planning in there. We should be there about 30. Jeremiah's got the timer. He's our engineer timer, so he makes sure that. Now, don't show up here. We'll probably need to put the address on the door on Sunday morning in case somebody forgets to come early. They can still come, but they just will miss us. So 9:30, we're leaving, so that means you should be. See? That's why I do that. That's why I don't do announcements. Thank you. Keep me straight. 9 o'clock we're leaving. So be here 9:45 so they can get your cars and get everybody situated where they need to go. So keep that in mind. And I want to sing The Day of Redemption. I don't know what page that is. If anybody knows, just tell me. I'll find it. The Day of Redemption. I kept thinking about that song. 161. Thank you. Oh, turned right to it. I was thinking about this song while Brother Steve was preaching. You know, the nations are gone. The world's gone. But we need to look up because our redemption. I always like to sing this and say, our redemption is here. I know it says near, but I say it's here. And I tell our church, I tell them all the time, I say, get everything off of your plate but the rapture. Amen. You worry about all this and worry about all that. Rapture will take care of it all. And even the world order, the rapture will take care of that. But the nations are falling apart. But there's a group of people who are looking up, for our redemption is here. It came in 63. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Lord himself descended from heaven with a shout, the voice of the trumpet. Don't have time, but just to let you know, he ain't coming. He's here. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentiles' day numbered with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. For the day of redemption is here, and men's hearts are failing for fear. We should be filled with God's Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Bright, look up, your redemption is here. For the day
men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. You're dismissed.